Suta Goswami started the Bhagavatam by offering his respect to his spiritual master, Srila Sukadeva Goswami. And prior to that, the sages of Naimisharanya questioned Suta Goswami about some very, very pertinent questions which were leading to the understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the importance of devotional service. And then in the third chapter, Suta Goswami is describing how the creation actually began. You remember I described before that Bhagavatam has 10 lakshanam, 10 symptoms. That's what makes Bhagavatam the Mahapuran. The first symptom is sarga or creation. And second is visharga, the sub-creation. So sarga aspect is that Mahavishnu lying in causal ocean, and from his body different universes are manifesting. And then he expands himself into his second Purusha manifestation, that is Garbhadokshayi Vishnu, and enters into the universe. Each universe fills up the universe with the water from his body, and then he lies there on a bed of Anantashesha, and from his navel comes out a lotus. So Brahma is situated in that lotus, the first created being, the first personality to come to the universe. In this way he appeared, directly from the navel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Normally, a baby is connected to the mother through the umbilical cord, the navel of the mother. But here, Brahma is connected to the navel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he just directly manifested. Directly, therefore, he is known as Swayambhu, a personality who just appeared himself. And then from Brahma appeared the four Kumaras. So these four Kumaras are the oldest of the personalities, but they look just like 5-year-old boys. But they are completely situated in transcendental knowledge. And they are the empowered incarnations of the Lord. So in this chapter, different incarnations of the Lord, 22 different incarnations of the Lord have been described. And the first of them were actually these four Kumaras, the empowered incarnations. Also, there are 6 different types of incarnations. Purushavatar, the Vishnu incarnations, like Mahavishnu, Garbhadokshayi Vishnu, Kshirodokshayi Vishnu. They are the Purushavatars. Then there are the Leelavatars. The Lord manifests himself, incarnates himself to perform his pastimes, the Leelas. And then Gunavatars. In the material nature, there are 3 modes: mode of goodness, mode of passion, and mode of ignorance. And those 3 modes are controlled by the Lord. So they are known as the Gunavatars, Brahma, Vishnu, and Lord Shiva. They are the Gunavatars. Then, Manvantara avatar. In a day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus. And along with this Manu's reign, the Lord manifests himself as Manvantara avatar. Different Manvantara, the Lord manifests. And he remains throughout the Manvantara. So, then, Purushavatar, Leelavatar, Gunavatar, Manvantara avatar, then Shaktavesh avatar, the empowered incarnations. The Lord empowers some living entities to achieve certain purpose. So they are known as the Manvantara avatars. So these four Kumaras are the Manvantara avatars. And here, the various incarnations that have been described, they fall in different categories. And So 22 different incarnations have been described. Like the first incarnations in this way have been categorized as the Kumaras. The second incarnation is Lord Varahadev. Varahadev appeared when the earth went down to the nether region. Then the Lord appeared as a boar, transcendental boar, to lift the earth from the lower region of the universe. And in this incarnation, he also killed Hiranyaksha. Then the third incarnation is Narad Muni. The fourth incarnation is Nara Narayan, the twin sons of Dharma. And fifth incarnation is Kapildev, another empowered incarnation. Then sixth incarnation is Dattatreya. The seventh incarnation is Yajna. The eighth incarnation described in Bhagavatam is Rishabdev. The ninth incarnation is Prithu Maharaj, the ideal king. Then the tenth incarnation is Meena, the fish incarnation, in order to save the Vedas, the Lord appeared as a fish and rescued the Vedas and the different species had been saved in this way. And at the time of annihilation, Pralaya Payodhi Jale Dhritavana Shivedam. So the Lord appeared at the time of Pralaya Payodhi Jale, when the whole creation was inundated by the water of devastation, Pralaya Payodhi Jale. And at that time, appearing as a fish, Dhritavana Shivedam, he rescued the Vedas. Then he appeared as Kurma at the time of the churning of the milk ocean to get the nectar. They made the Mount Meru as the Manthan Danda, the churning rod, and Vasuki, the serpent, was made into the rope, and the demigods and demons, they were churning this milk ocean with this Mandara mountain as the churning rod. But the Mandara mountain, as they took it to the ocean, milk ocean, the Mandara mountain sank because there was no support. So then the Lord actually appeared as Kurma, as a transcendental tortoise, and the Mandara mountain, he allowed the Mandara mountain to rest on his back. And so this is how the milk, churning of the milk ocean could be conducted, and eventually the nectar appeared. And then came Dhanvantari. This is another incarnation of the Lord. He appeared with the nectar. So Dhanvantari is the 12th incarnation. And then the demigods and demons started to fight over the nectar. The Lord's intention was to give the nectar to the demigods, but the demons, they were struggling to snatch the pot of nectar away. So at that time, Lord appeared as Mohini Murti, the transcendental female form of the Lord. So that Mohini is the 13th incarnation. Then Lord Nrisingadev is the 14th incarnation. Then, as Nrisingadev, he actually killed Hiranyakashipu in order to protect Prahlad Maharaj. So this is how the Lord appears. The purpose of the Lord's appearance is to paritranaya sadhunam, vinashaya chatushkritam, and dharma sangsthapanarthaya, in order to establish dharma. In this way, the Lord actually appears. So he came to protect Prahlad Maharaj, and in this way he came to give his association to the devotees. Then Prahlad Maharaj's grandson, Bali, became a very powerful demon that Bali took away the kingdom of heaven from Indra. Krishna actually makes the arrangement for this material nature to be maintained in a certain way, but sometimes the demons interfere in his arrangement. So Bali's point was that we are from the same father, so we are brothers. So why you all, the demigods, Diti's sons, Aditi's sons, are having this facility of ruling over the heavenly planet, whereas we have been plunged into the lower planetary systems. So we want this king, the heavenly planet, for ourselves. And Bali became so powerful that he drove the demigods away from heaven. He defeated all the demigods, and the demigods ran away. They were hiding at different places. So seeing the condition of demigods, distressful condition of the demigods, Aditi, their mother, became very, very sad. Like mother naturally feels sad when he sees her children are in distress. And like they lost their kingdom. They were like beggars and vagabonds. They're just roaming around, hiding at different places due to the fear of police attack. So Aditi performed a yajna, a brata, to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, called Payavrata. Just she remained just drinking milk and nothing else. And that also, whenever she needed to eat something or drink something, she just would drink a little milk. Being pleased with her austerity and penance, the Lord appeared to him and asked, "What do you want?" So then Aditi expressed her desire to reinstate her children in the rightful kingdom. And she also expressed her desire to have the Lord as a son. So that's why the Lord fulfilled her desire by appearing as Vamandev. Chalayashi Vikramane Balim Adbhuta Bhamana. In order to deceive Bali Maharaj, he appeared as a dwarf Brahmin boy, Bhamana, a small little boy. And as a dwarf is small. And he went to Bali Maharaj when he was performing a sacrifice. So after the performance of the sacrifice, it is a custom that the performer gives out in charity, especially to the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. So this boy, although he's a dwarf, he looks so beautiful. Naturally, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he appeared in the court of Bali Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj, seeing him, became so enchanted that he felt that to this person he could offer everything. And he asked the Brahmana boy, "So tell me what you want." And he said, "Look, I don't want anything. All I want is just 3 steps of land." And Bali Maharaj was surprised. He said, "Look, you have come to Bali, who is celebrated for his charitable nature. There's no one who can match him in giving charity. So you have come to Bali and you're asking just for 3 steps of land." And Bhamandev's response was that that's what actually one needs. In order to sleep, we need only 3 steps of land. That's about the land that we need about to lie down. So Bali insisted, like, ask for something, ask for gold, ask for cows, ask for kingdom. I'm prepared to give you anything. But Bhavandev was just insistent, oh, all I want is three strips of land. So Shukracharya became worried, Bali's spiritual master. Because Shukracharya could understand that this is not the characteristic of a Brahmana. A Brahmana is naturally, they generally want to have, they're greedy. So it's unusual that this boy coming to Bali Maharaj is asking for only three strips of land. So he must be Vishnu himself, came to cheat Bali Maharaj. So he warned Bali, don't give him. I suspect this is Vishnu who came. Bali Maharaj's response was that if Vishnu came to me to ask what for whatever he wants, I'm prepared to offer him everything. Vishnu himself came. So that is the perfection of life, to offer everything to Vishnu. So this way we can see that how Bali Maharaj is a great devotee. Therefore, Bali Maharaj is considered to be one of the Mahajans. Bayashaki Balir Bayam. Bali Maharaj is one of the 12 Mahajans. But Shukracharya insisted, look, he'll take everything. He said, look, the perfection of life is to offer everything to Vishnu. Now, if Vishnu himself came to take everything else from me, that I consider to be the greatest good fortune for me. So, when he didn't listen, then he was about to offer, grant the thing to Bali Maharaj, to Bamandev. Bali Maharaj was offered, about to grant the expected expectation of from him. So he was doing Achaman. At that time Shukracharya entered into the Kamandalu, the water pot, and sealed the neck of the pot so that water couldn't come and Bali Maharaj would not be able to do his Achaman before granting. So when water was not coming, so Bamandev asked, what happened? Bali Maharaj said, water is not coming. So Bamandev said, okay, maybe something is sticking the thing, something is sticking the neck of the pot. So he took a kusha grass and he poked. And as a result of that, Shukracharya's eye became blinded. And screaming, he came out of the Kamandalu. So Bali Maharaj, in this way, granted the three steps of land to Bamandev. With one step, he covered the entire universe. Second step, there was no room for third step. With two steps, he covered the entire universe. Not only that, it is when he stretched his leg to the limit of the universe, his toe actually pierced the covering of the universe. And as a result of due to that penetration of the covering of the universe, the water from the causal ocean came and washed the feet of the Lord. And that is Ganga. This is how Ganga actually came to this planet, came to this universe. Due to the stretching of the foot of Bamandev. And so then he didn't, in this way, he actually deceived Bali Maharaj and took away his kingdom all the way up to the heavenly planets. So in this way, Bamandev appeared to again Paritranaya Sadhunam, in order to protect the demigods and give their kingdom back to them. And also, in this way, he glorified the greatness of Bali Maharaj. In this way, we can see that Bali Maharaj's situation was even superior to Indra's position, demigod's position. Demigods never been acclaimed as great devotees, as Mahajan. But Bali Maharaj has been recognized all over the world as the 12 Mahajans, the greatest devotees of the Lord. Then after Vamanadev came Parashuram. At that time, the Kshatriyas became very powerful and they became very arrogant, very tyrannical. They were causing a lot of distress. And especially Bharatdev, one of the Kshatriyas, killed Parashuram's father. And so Parashuram took a vow to annihilate, to make the world nikshatriya, make the world devoid of Kshatriyas. So he is another incarnation of the Lord. 21 times he annihilated the Kshatriyas. Then the 17th incarnation is Srila Vyasadev. Vyasadev is a literary incarnation, another empowered incarnation of the Lord. So Vyasadev divided the Vedas and simplified the Vedas for the living entities of the age of Kali. In the age of Kali, the living entities are naturally atheistic. In the age of Kali, people are very, very demoniac and they don't have any inclination towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, there was the need, the Lord saw the need to simplify the Vedic wisdom. And he appeared as Vyasadev. And in this way he divided the Vedas, presented different aspects of Vedas in the form of Itihash, Puran, Upanishad, Dharma Shastra. Then he gave Mahabharata for less intelligent people to understand the tenets of the scriptures. And then finally, on the instruction of Narad Muni, he gave Srimad Bhagavatam, the essence of all the Vedic wisdom. So this was, in order to do that, the Lord appeared as Vyasadev. And we are very, very, very much indebted to him for his wonderful gift to us. It's because of him that we are able to read Srimad Bhagavatam and understand the teachings of the Vedas. Then another incarnation is Lord Ramchandra. He's a Leela avatar. So as Lord Ramchandra, son of Dasharath, the Lord appeared as a Marjada Purushottam to establish Dharma. Establish the Marjada of Dharma. So therefore he is Marjada Purushottam. He teaches how to act, especially how a leader, how a ruler must act. And then the 19th and 20th incarnation has been described as Balaram and Krishna. Balaram appeared first and then Krishna. So this Krishna is an incarnation, but this Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna can be seen as an incarnation because he appeared in this planet. But he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. That will be described in Srimad Bhagavatam after a few verses. So after that, the 21st incarnation is Lord Buddha. Lord Buddha came to stop the animal sacrifice that was going on in the name of Vedas. Vedas prescribe sacrifice. But those sacrifices are to test the arrangement of the Jagya. Whether the Jagya has been conducted properly, they would have a test like that. An animal would be sacrificed, but that animal would either get a youthful body, an old animal will get a youthful body, or get a human body, or be elevated to the higher planetary systems. So that is the purpose of animal sacrifice. But in the age of Kali, many Rakshasas were actually born in the Brahminical families, and they had destroyed the Vedic culture. And in order to just eat the flesh of the animals, they were slaughtering them in the name of sacrifice. Nindashi jagga bideraha shruti jatam. Shruti jatam, this custom is actually from the Shruti Vedas. But they were actually misutilizing that instruction. Therefore, in order to stop the animal sacrifice, Krishna appeared as Buddha. So in this way, the incarnation means the Lord's appearance in this planet, in this universe, in the material nature. And then the final one that has been described is 22nd incarnation, who will appear, who hasn't come, but he will appear at the end of Kali Yuga. How many more years to go? 427,000 years to go. He'll come after 427,000 years, but we know them. We know about his appearance. That is the scriptures. In the scriptures, different incarnations of the Lord have been mentioned already, forecasting them. Like here, the appearance of Buddha was forecasted. Kalki has been forecasted. So, actually, Bhagavatam was written before Buddha came, but people saw how Buddha came. And people will also see how Kalki will come. And in this way, Bhagavatam describes, avatarahi asankhayo. There are innumerable incarnations. Asankhayo, shankhatita. Countless incarnations. But all these avatars are ete changsha kala puncha. They are the parts, amsa, or parts of the parts, or parts of the parts of the parts, and so forth, of Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Swayam Bhagavan. Krishna is not an incarnation. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is the purpose of the Vedas, to establish the identity of Krishna. Out of the 10 symptoms, the last symptom is the samambonam, ashraya. Who is that ashraya? Who is the samambonam of everything? Even the ashraya, the shelter or support of the incarnations, that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So very scientifically, Krishna's identity has been established. Although many incarnations have been described, just to give us an idea. And how different incarnations of the Lord come to perform different purposes, to fulfill different purposes, mainly to protect the devotees and annihilate the miscreants. But the main point is that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That Supreme Personality of Godhead is the son of Nanda Maharaj. That Supreme Personality of Godhead eternally resides in Vrindavan. He never leaves Vrindavan. So that is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there are innumerable incarnations of the Lord, but Krishna is the original. Krishna is the origin of all incarnations. And then it has been described that how, in order to create, the Lord manifested himself in his Virat Roop. The Virat Roop actually is the sum total of all entire universal creation. Virat, like has been described in Bhagavatam and also in Bhagavad Gita, that how different rivers are the veins in his body, how the mountains are the bones, how sun and moon are the eyes of that Virata Purusha. So all the sum total of the entire creation is the Virat Purush, Virat Roop of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But here in Bhagavatam it has been pointed out that this Virat Roop is actually imaginary. It's not Lord's eternal form, it's an imaginary form pertaining to, related to the material nature. And different aspects of the material nature are different limbs of that personality. But actually, the Lord doesn't really have a form like that. And this Virat Roop is only temporary. As long as the material creation is there, the Virat Roop is there. Then why is this concept of Vishwaroop or Virat Roop, or why did the Lord show himself in that? That is not his eternal form. But why did he do that? He did that to enable the neophyte devotees to adjust the idea that the Lord has a form. Generally, people have difficulty understanding the Lord has a form. Or what kind of form is it? They cannot really relate to that. They generally tend, because they can understand only the material creation, material aspects. Therefore, in order to give them an idea about the Lord's form, this Virat Roop has been manifested temporarily. But at an advanced stage, one will realize that that is not important. This Virat Roop is not so important. The Lord is present in our hearts, in His personal form. That is the Paramatma aspect of the Lord. Then through the devotion, through rendering devotional service, we can see the Lord face to face. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then, Sukadeva Goswami pointed out that Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation. Bhagavatam is not different from the Lord. Bhagavatam is the body, just as the body of the Lord has 12 limbs, Bhagavatam has 12 cantos. Those 12 cantos are, first two cantos are his legs, his lotus feet. The second and third canto are his thighs. First and second canto are his legs. Third and fourth canto are his thighs. Fifth canto is his abdomen. Sixth canto is his chest. Seventh and eighth cantos are his arms. Ninth canto is his neck. Tenth canto is his smiling lotus face. 11th canto is his forehead, and 12th canto is his head. In this way, the Bhagavatam represents the body of the Lord, or Bhagavatam has the form, non-different from the Lord's. Bhagavatam is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as the Lord has his transcendental Satchidananda Vigraha form, Bhagavatam is non-different from that form of the Lord. And this Bhagavatam was compiled by Srila Vasudev. Then Vasudev gave it to his son Sukadeva Goswami. Then Sukadeva Goswami spoke to Parikshit Maharaj. And in that assembly where Sukadeva Goswami was speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami was present there. And he is telling that that is how he actually received the perfect knowledge, Bhagavatam. And now he is going to recite that Bhagavatam to the sages of Naimisharanya, who assemble there to perform a 1,000-year-long sacrifice, which discussed in our previous class, for the benefit of the living entities of the age of Kali. They actually performed this very, very powerful sacrifice. And in that assembly, Suta Goswami appeared. And the sages, headed by Shaunaka Rishi, put forward different questions after describing why Suta Goswami was so eligible, why Suta Goswami is so qualified. Because Suta Goswami studied the scriptures under the guidance of his bona fide spiritual master. And not only that, Suta Goswami himself is free from all sinful reactions. Anagha. Agha means sin. And anagha means sinless. So one of the qualifications is one of the qualifications of Suta Goswami is that he is sinless. Taya khalu puranani. You have studied all the scriptures, puranani, all the puranas. Seti hashani cha anagha, cha anagha. You studied the itihas, my dear sinless personality. Akkattanna padhitani dharma shastrani jana. And that's why you are an expert, because you have studied all the scriptures. Therefore, you know the essential teachings of all the scriptures. So in this way, we can see what Suta Goswami is presenting is the essence of all the scriptures. Bhagavatam is the essence of all the scriptures. There is no need to read all those scriptures. What to speak of read? We don't even have the time to read. But doesn't matter. We got Srimad Bhagavatam. And this Srimad Bhagavatam is the means to free ourselves from this dangerous bondage of this material nature. And Suta Goswami is very mercifully going to recite Bhagavatam to the sages of Naimisharanya. And this Bhagavatam is the only hope for us. In this age, Krishna sadham apagate dharma jnana divisaha. Sadhamo apagate. When Krishna went to his own abode, swadhama, and when he went, dharma, jnana, etc., also went with him. Religious principle, transcendental knowledge, all this also left this planet and went. Krishna sadham apagate dharma jnana divisaha. And when dharma and jnana is gone, then what's the hope for this world? It's plunged in total darkness, spiritual darkness. We can see the condition of the age of Kali. We can see the condition of the world around us in a very, very degraded state. This world is. But kalo nashta drisham esha. Seeing this nashta drisham, the people will not have any vision. They'll become blinded in this spiritual, they'll become spiritually blind in this world of ignorance. There's no dark, there's no light, all darkness everywhere. At that time, by the mercy of the Lord, Puranalko Adhunodita. Adhuna means now. Udita means horizon. Puranarka, brilliant as the sun. This Bhagavat Puran, which is brilliant as the sun. So this Bhagavat Puran has become manifest. So this is our hope. We all are absolutely blind in this age, and this age is in total darkness. But if we take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, then that darkness will be immediately dispelled and we'll become situated in transcendental knowledge. And this knowledge will take us beyond this material nature, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Does anybody have any question?
Hare Krishna, everyone. Thank you for listening in so far. If you have any questions for Guru Maharaj, please dial *6 and you'll be placed into the questions queue. Thank you. Okay, so we have our first question.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. This is Nanda Dulal. Guru Maharaj, you mentioned that in Vyasadeva compiled, but it was spoken to Brahma by Chotusloka, by Lord Krishna himself.
Yeah, so that's why, not only that, Brahma then gave it to Narad, and then Narad gave it to Vyasadeva. You see? Like Vyasadeva, Narad Muni gave it to Vyasadeva and urged him to describe the Lord's glory.
Okay, Guru.
Your unadulterated glorification of the Supreme Personality of God. And that's when Narad Muni first told him that you are facing this despondency, this disappointment and frustration, because you have not glorified the Supreme Personality of God, and therefore your work is not complete. So that's how, under Narad Muni's instruction, Vyasadeva compiled Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam has always been there. Bhagavatam is always there. The transcendental knowledge. As when Krishna is there, Bhagavatam is there. But the manifestation of Bhagavatam in this age has came through Vyasadeva.
Okay. Guru Maharaj, we are very indebted to you, you know, out of compassion, out taking so much trouble. You are giving this class, you know, as if we are listening in front of you. And also, we are thankful to Atma Prabhu for arranging this. I know how difficult it is, time zone, and still you are keeping time, you know, Maharaj. Really, you know.
And I'm also very happy that you all are taking the time to listen to these classes. If this class has been conducted or being organized so that I can stay in touch with you on a regular basis.
Thank you, Maharaj.
I feel very bad at times that I am not able to give so much time to you. Yes, take advantage of this. Thank you.
Please bless us, Maharaj, so that we can continue.
Yes.
Okay, so thank you, Nanda Dilal Prabhu. We have our next question. Please go ahead with your question. Shyamal Prabhu, can you hear me? Okay, I guess he can't speak right now. Let's move on to the next question.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.
Yes.
Yes, Guru Maharaj. So, you were talking about Shaktavesh Avatar. So, I had the question that Shaktavesh Avatar can also be a Jiva Tattva, is that right? And
yes, Shaktavesh Avatars are generally Jiva Tattvas.
Okay.
But there are two types, Saktavesh and Bhagavadavesh. The personality of Godhead comes in order to perform certain purpose. Like Kapil Dev is, like there are Avesh Avatar and, you know, like there's a slight difference. Like Kapil Dev is a Avesh Avatar. Like, therefore, you see, Kapil Dev is identifying himself as me, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like, Satan Prashangan Mama Virja Sambhido. Mama Virja Sambhido. He's identifying himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are not ordinary jivas as such, but the manifestation of the soul in this planet to achieve submission. Yes, next question. Yeah, Aditya, Aditya Narayan, does it answer your question?
So, Guru Maharaj, just like to continuation to that, so are all the Shaktaves Avatars mentioned in our scriptures?
No, like, it's impossible to describe all the Shaktaves Avatars in these scriptures.
And also, like, I have heard that, you know, some people claim our Prabhupada to be a Shaktaves Avatar. So is it okay to say that, or is it...
Personally, I will say that Prabhupada is beyond Shaktavishavatar. Prabhupada is not just a Shaktavishavatar. You know, like, I'll make that point in this way. Who is more important, Krishna's associate or Krishna's empowered incarnation?
Associates.
What's that? Who is more important?
The associates, Guru Maharaj?
Associate. The Prabhupada is an associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Okay.
He may have been empowered by, in order to achieve something very special. That way he can be identified as Shaktavesh Avatar, but the thing is, Prabhupada's identity is way beyond the Shaktavesh Avatar. Okay. He's an associate of the Supreme Personality.
Thank you so much, Guru Maharaj. That's very clear.
Okay, now next question.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. This is Nikhil.
Yes.
I have a question. Hello. Regarding the Virat Purush. So, okay. You said that the Virat Purush is temporary, and the reason why it's described is so the neophyte devotees can understand Krishna better. So, why is the Virat Purush described so many times in Srimad Bhagavatam?
Yeah, because many neophytes will be Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? And they have to, at least, you know, from material concept, one will get the spiritual understanding. But the point is the Lord's form relative to material perception? No. But it is necessary for a less advanced individual to get the concept of the Lord's form. Like, they appreciate something when it's very big or great. So through this greatness that they're perceiving in the material nature, they are actually seeing the form of the Lord. But actually the Lord's form is beyond material nature. So this is how they will get a concept of the personal form of the Lord and then get into the personal identity of the Lord. Does it answer your question?
Yes, yes, Maharaj. As a follow-up, so while reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, should we give a lot of importance to the Virat Purush form?
No. Only neophyte, like 11th chapter, many people become very impressed. The 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, they become very impressed. They think this is the most important aspect of Bhagavad Gita. But an advanced devotee, you know, he won't consider 11th chapter to be so important. As we can see, Arjun, he was not interested in that universal form. He's saying that, please, and if you display us your forearm form.
Yeah. Okay, thank you so much, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Okay, Atma.
Guru Maharaj, we have two more questions, if you have time.
Oh, two more questions. Okay.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. This is Purnachandra Das here.
Who is speaking?
Purnachandra Das here.
Oh, hi, Purnachandra.
Thank you so much for the wonderful class, Guru Maharaj. Guru, after Dattatreya's incarnation, you mentioned about Jagya incarnation. If you can please tell more about that, Guru Maharaj.
Yeah, Jagya is the personality, the Lord, when he appeared to establish the importance of sacrifice. He is actually Yugavatar. In Treta Yuga, he established the Yuga Dharma of Jagya. And does it answer your question?
Yes, very much. Thank you.
I mean, the details are there, like in Bhagavatam. About him.
Okay, final question, Guru Maharaj.
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. This is Girish from Gurgaon.
Oh, Hare Krishna,
Guru Maharaj. Guru Maharaj, I just wanted to ask, why do we hear, such less information about Balaram? You know, I was listening to a lecture, and they said that before Prabhupada made Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, there was probably no temple in India or very less temples in India about Balaram. And in our normal scriptures and everywhere, you know, we read about those famous Dasavtars, but you know, there is hardly any information or mentioning about Balaram. You know, in any of those books or
that?
Papers.
Did you read Krishna book?
Yes, I'm reading it, Guru Maharaj. I'm saying outside, Prabhupada's books, I'm saying that they said that it was Prabhupada.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about what others are doing or what others did not do. Just be content with what Shri Prabhupada gave and get absorbed with that. Prabhupada glorified Balaram's time and time again.
Correct. Fine, Guru Maharaj. Okay.
Hare Krishna,
Guru Maharaj.
So, Atma. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Guru Maharaj. Would you like to schedule the next class, or should we discuss that later, Guru Maharaj?
Next will be 25th. I'll be on the boat.
Yes.
And
how about the first?
Let me see how it is, because that one after that, when will be the next Saturday will be first. I may be able to do that. First, I'll be in Switzerland. I'll probably be able to do that.
Okay, great. So I'll schedule it for the first.
Okay. So it's not happening every Saturday. Something or the other is always away. If I was on land, I could have. Let me see if from the ship I can conduct it. I will try to do that.
Okay, Guru Maharaj. I will get in touch with you next week and we'll figure it out.
Good. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
Haribol.
So, just some announcements for the participants. So, as you heard Guru Maharaj saying, the next teleconference will most likely be on the 1st, but there's a possibility it could also be on the 25th. Please watch out on Istagosti for the announcement, and on Guru Maharaj's Facebook page, which is facebook.com/BhaktiCharaswami. And if you have any questions or any feedback or any suggestions for me, please email info@vpnglobal.org. And my name is Atma. So thank you very much, and please do send your appreciations directly to Guru Maharaj. Thank you for listening, and I will end the conference call now, and I will also post the recording. on the East Coast. Okay. Hare Krishna.
Hare